The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Metaxas Show.
Today's show is brought to you by the Brothers Karamazov.
Not the book, the actual brothers themselves.
They love Eric and wanted to support him, so they decided to sponsor the show.
Is that not amazing?
And Dostoevsky doesn't know a thing about it.
And he invented them.
Now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Another bunker video from the Metaxas Show bunker. Actually, the Metaxas Show bunker is, it's kind of like a cow's stomach. There are several bunkers contained within the Metaxas Show bunker. There's my bunker. Then, of course, there's Albin's bunker.
Hello.
There's Chris Himes' bunker. And Jamie, he has a bunker. So like a cow's stomach, very, very like a cow's stomach, we have a four-chambered bunker. So much to cover. Okay, first of all, I want to remind everybody, well, actually, you wouldn't know this, today, for both hours, this is huge. I'm talking to KT McFarland. She is a big deal. She has worked in government since literally being an 18-year-old genius working in the Nixon administration with Kissinger and on all the way up. She's a big fan of this president. And I have to tell you, to talk to her for 2 hours today about our new book, Revolution, I am absolutely thrilled. So don't miss my interview with her today, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Now, also this week, at the end of the week, we're going to do an Ask Metaxas. We'll do another one of those. And of course, we're going to have on John Smirak. And what else do we have? Sadar's Radar. Albin, let me just say, don't you believe that the Lord intended for your surname to rhyme with radar for such a time as this?
Yes. Oh, no question about it. You know, my twin brother, he's a meteorologist, and he's actually used Sadar radar to predict the weather, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, how God plans. It's such a beautiful thing. And Chris, you've got some weird stuff to share.
Yeah, I have some memes. I don't know if you guys want to see some memes. This is a good one. This is
Of course we want to see memes.
It's a Where's Waldo social distancing version. Usually, you know, obviously it's crowded. But
usually it's very crowded. So the joke is not crowded. That's not a bad joke. Thank you for that.
Very funny.
Before we continue with the humor, I want to remind my audience of the non-humor part of this bunker video. We have to continue giving those of us who have not, their folks in Guatemala depending on us, CSI, we've been trying to raise money for them. We never thought this coronavirus would hit and we'd be all in these weird bunkers and stuff. But I want to say that their problems have not changed. Their problems have been severe, are severe, and will be severe when we get out of this. So if I can encourage any of you to go to MetaxasTalk.com, these are real families that need our help. I will talk more about that later, but I just want to encourage you, please, we really do need your help. So go to MetaxasTalk.com, click on the banner, give what you can. You know that at the end of every week, we have a grand prize winner. It's a huge grand prize every single week. Anything you give this week, you become somebody who may win that grand prize. Whether you give $40 or $10,000, everybody's equal in this, okay? So please go to MetaxasTalk.com and enter that. And okay, now, Albin, you and Chris, you've cooked up some pretty wacky stuff, and I'm in the mood for some wacky stuff.
Well, yesterday, if I may begin, Chris, yesterday I shared a Corona miracle. All right. We've had Christmas miracles before. Well, this is a Corona miracle. Yesterday, I talked about the flowers that had not died after a full month. I'd bought them in Grand Central.
Are they real flowers?
No, they really are. They're real flowers. Yes. And so now there's a balloon that I bought for my wife way back in like 2008 when we first got married, and it's still inflated. And if you're watching, and you should be watching us on YouTube, you should sign up for the YouTube channel video, Metaxas Show, right? Eric Metaxas Show. You'll see the balloon is right behind me. It's still inflated. It's amazing,
Albin,
right?
That, my friend, is a Mylar miracle. Hallelujah. That is
not minor.
Unbelievable.
Not minor, Mylar. And today is our anniversary.
A Mylar miracle.
Today is our anniversary, and I got Anne. It's our 142nd anniversary because we got married late, so we celebrate the months, not just the years, okay?
Wow.
And so, yeah, and I checked, 142 months, you know, 25 years is silver, 142 months is 2-ply. So I got my wife a nice special 2-ply anniversary gift for today.
It doesn't get more fundamental than that.
No, don't tell her.
You know something, Albin? In the end, that's the most meaningful gift you could have given her.
That's right. I know. Don't tell me. I'm a great husband. Am I not?
I digress. Let's continue. Enough of the potty talk. Okay, we're gonna steer the conversation away from the Popo Heine stuff because that's inappropriate. And we're going to talk about more important things like the jokes that Chris Himes wants to share.
Well, yeah. Yesterday you shared a kind of a growing up story about bullies in the locker room.
Administered joxygen.
Yes. And just a few hours ago, I found this clip that I thought I would share. It's basically that. So here you go.
Okay, we're watching on video right now a guy making out of his own underwear.
Video. All right, this is as bad radio as it gets because people listening on the radio cannot see this. So this is an encouragement to people. He's using Hanes underwear.
That's right.
To create a coronavirus mask. Wow. Think of the American ingenuity.
Oh, my goodness.
Incredibly disgusting thing that he just did. That's so beautiful.
Oh, wow.
And Albin, speaking of disgusting, I really didn't mean to dissuade you from your own kind of gross, potty humor. That's what we're all about on this program. Let's be honest that God has allowed this time so that we can writhe in the gutter, in the mud. And I just want to encourage you guys, that kind of humor is utterly appropriate for these bunker videos. And you know what? A lot of people listening on the radio don't realize that even though this is a radio program and we're going to hear from KT McFarland and it's a normal radio program every day, we are putting these things on videos. And the first part and the last part typically is the bunker video where we do this kind of weird stuff, updates and stuff. And then, you know, we'll have our interviews in the middle. So
right.
I just want to make that clear to people who are confused because we're showing stuff on the screen. And I guess that's our way of encouraging you to check us out on the YouTube channel, Eric Metaxas Show. Check it out. Please subscribe. Subscribe all your friends. We'd love that.
Yeah, what's really interesting is that KT actually joins us in the bunker here in about a couple minutes. KT will actually be in the bunker. Some of the shows we've done a couple weeks before, we had to go bunkerizing ourselves. But KT herself has decided she's coming to us from Florida, where
she's
visiting.
It's a five-chambered bunker. I can't think of any animals that chew the cud that have a five-chambered stomach. We need to put one of our researchers on that.
We got to. Oh, by the way, can I share a meme? And I'll hold this up. If you're looking on YouTube channel,
it's a picture of the bottom of a child's foot, and it says, "Be like this piggy," and it's pointing to the toe, the little piggy that's right next to the big toe. And why is it doing that?
Because this little piggy stayed home, you see.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, I want to thank Mike Opelka for sharing that. One of his friends, I believe, came up with that meme.
Wow. Yeah, we're not paying him for it.
No, we're not.
That's incredible. That's incredible for it. Hey, speaking of paying things, I want to mention our sponsors because this program, as you know, the only reason we're able to do this program is because we have sponsors. We're not making that up, and we are certainly not getting rich from doing the program. I hope I don't need to tell you that. I think a lot of people kind of assume if you write books or you're on the air or something like you're financially in the swim. So if you want to help us out, check out our sponsors. Go to of course Mike Lindell MyPillow and use the code Eric. Anything you or I'm gonna say it again. The mattress topper. It is like a freakish technology from the future. I don't know what he has done, but I am not kidding. It is unbelievable. We're out of time right now. Okay, when we're back, KT McFarland will catch you at the end of the hour.
When a woman sure can be a friend of mine.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to an official interview with an official guest who is actually technically not in a bunker. If it is a bunker, it's the sweetest looking bunker I've ever seen. My guest, as you've already heard, is KT McFarland. KT, we are thrilled to have you. Thanks for coming on.
It's an honor and a pleasure, Eric. Thank you.
Well, we know, first of all, we're all living through, you know, it's like Daniel Defoe's Journal of the Plague Year. So we can talk about that in just a moment. But I want to reiterate to my audience what they've already heard. You have a new book out called Revolution. I think most people who listen to this program know how to spell revolution. KT McFarland. If they don't know how to spell KT, we're in big, big trouble. So KT McFarland, the new book is Revolution. In case people are wondering, you were this president's first deputy national security advisor. You left D.C., and now you are a former government official and political commentator, and you have returned to tell the truth about the Trump administration and those who are seeking to destroy it. And boy, are we glad you have done that. Congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
So what is the gist of what you have to say in this book about this president?
Well, I wrote it in three parts, Eric. The first part, so is Trump. Why I, as a traditional foreign policy establishment member of the Republican Party, why I decided to break ranks with them and to support Trump during the campaign and during the transition and then to join his administration. So I am a card-carrying member of the Republican foreign policy establishment. Can you wait one? We just got a delivery.
Sure.
UPS delivery.
This is guerrilla radio. A what delivery?
Well, we're in the bunker, and so my husband and I are senior citizens in the vulnerable age. So we were having Amazon deliver everything, but that's now done, and he's dealing with it.
Okay.
But to get back to Trump, why I supported Trump. I thought that the Republican Party and the Democrats, the establishment, had really got American foreign policy wrong for about the last 10 or 15 years. They were way too focused on the Middle East, way too focused on areas which don't really matter to us as much as other parts of the world. And they let their eye off the ball on China. And China is the real danger, as we have seen in the last couple of months. So I like Trump because he did two things. He said, let's get energy independent with American fracking, so we don't need to be in the middle of these psychodramas in the Middle East. Get out of the Middle East and then focus where the real threat is, the real strategic threat, which is China. So the first part of my book is about that, why I like Trump, what America First means, what his policies are. The second part of the book is Washington and my experiences and going back to Washington, where I had been in the Nixon, Ford, and Reagan administrations.
Nixon?
And, Nixon. I was Henry I was 18-year-old aide to Henry Kissinger, night secretary.
As long as you were a teenager, we're going to let it go. Holy guacamole.
So my background goes back to Watergate and periods of great unrest in the United States. And what I found in Washington was so different with Trump. They hate Trump. They hate everything about Trump. And so as a result, I found that it was really pretty hard to work there, although we were terrific in putting in his policies into practice. But then when I got my boss, Mike Flynn, was fired, and he went through the Mueller investigation. I went through the Mueller investigation, even though I'd never met any Russians. I'd never had any contact with them. But the Mueller people tried to force me into pleading guilty to crimes I didn't commit. And
now, excuse me, KT, but I actually don't remember that. That's amazing. They tried to force you to plead guilty to crimes you did not commit. So you are another example.
Of them doing this
to people.
They did not, and I was no, you know, rookie. I had been around for a long time and knew how dastardly it can be. But even so, I was pulled into their net, and although they never said it in those words, they pushed me to try to say things that I knew were not true about myself, and frankly, to implicate Trump. They didn't care about me. They wanted to get to Trump. So how could they get me in a position where I would say things about Trump, even though they weren't true? That's what I think they were up to. And they also knew that what they could do to the people around Trump was blackmail them and also bankrupt them. So they have unlimited resources. I'm probably close to $500,000 in debt to deal with these, paying these things off. You don't get reimbursed, any of that. And so they understand the deep state, call it whatever you want. They know that they can get after Trump and Trump's people by bankrupting them and by intimidating them. So the long and short of it is I got out of it. I had the best lawyer in the country defending me. I'd never done anything wrong. And there was a moment, though, after 30 or 40 hours of interviews and being interviews, which are really interrogations, of being so beaten down that I finally turned to my lawyer and said, what do they want me to say? They keep making subpoenas. They keep having investigations. And he said, well, they have a version of events. They have a narrative, and you're not endorsing that narrative. And they're just going to keep coming after you until you give them that narrative. And then, so I finally then said, well, what do they want me to say? I'll just say it. And my husband intervened, and my husband of 35 years intervened. And he said, you can't do that. You'll never live with yourself. You can't lie. You can't say you did things that you didn't do just to get off of this. You're going to have to fight it. And so I said, well, honey, we're going to go bankrupt fighting this. And he said, well, you're just going to keep going because you'll never live with yourself, is what he said. So we finally called their bluff. I said, well, you're going to have to charge me with some crime that you're going to make up, but you'll charge me with the crime and I'll fight you. So at that point, they backed off and they went away. But I was so sort of intimidated and sort of traumatized by it all that my husband and I left the country. We got on a plane that night. We took an overnight flight to Glasgow and went to the Highlands of Scotland to just try to figure it out and get our feet back under us. So the third part of my book is called We the People. And it's my sort of, I spent 2 years off and on in Scotland in parts of the rural Highlands in the Hebrides. There were no Wi-Fi. There was no cell phone, no television. There wasn't even a paved road. And I tried to figure it all out. So I steeped myself in American history, reread everything. And I tried to think, well, everybody says it's never been worse than this. But I think, in fact, it has in American history. And what I concluded was that our founders set it up so that we would have political revolutions. Because America, by its very nature, is a dynamic society. We're always changing because of immigration, demographic changes, economic changes, technology. But government, by its very nature, is status quo and sort of stuck in the mud. So we have these political revolutions every 40 or so years. We have from the very beginning of the Republic. And so I write about the end of my book is actually very hopeful because it says that's what we're going through now. It's way bigger than just Trump. It's a revolution of the American people against a ruling governing class, which thinks it has the right to govern and rule the rest of us, regardless of what we say. So I think that's what we're going through now. And I have ultimate faith that the American people will prevail. And I think it's going to be nasty. It's going to be really hard. And we obviously the pandemic has made it much more difficult. But in the end, we'll prevail.
Yeah, I think there's so much to what you've said, and I hate that. No, seriously, there's so much to what you have said that it's hard to respond to, because in a way, you have summed up beautifully everything that we're going through. When you refer to General Flynn, I will never forget. I had the high privilege of sitting next to him in the pew at the service at St. John's the morning of the inauguration.
I was there too. Thinking,
this is a great man, and I'm just so looking forward to see what he's going to do. And of course, immediately the jackals were unleashed. And I know that when history writes the story, he will come out looking quite different than he's been looking. But the idea that you were with him, there's so many people that were there when these things happened. And I do think that what we're going through now is going to exonerate folks like that. But it's going to take people like you writing books about it and being willing to school the establishment GOP into what we're dealing with, that this is, in fact, a revolution.
Yeah, it is a revolution. I mean, the revolution was in 2016. Trump was the revolution candidate, right? The rest of the Republican establishment, all 16 or however many of them, were more or less the same and interchangeable. And Trump won the civil war in the Republican Party in 2016. It's now his Republican Party. But the Democrats are going through the same civil war now. That's Bernie Sanders versus Joe Biden. That's Nancy Pelosi last week, where a deal was made between the Republicans and the Democrats in Congress to cope with this virus and the economic effects. And what did she do? She blew it apart. Why? Because she wants to make sure that she caters to her left-wing base, who have basically said, unless you vote for socialism, our version of socialism, we're not going to bail out the American people. We're not going to rescue the country. That's the fight that they're having.
It's absolutely stunning. We're going to go to a break. Folks, I have the privilege of talking to KT McFarland. You probably already know her, but maybe you don't know that she has a brand new book. It is called Revolution. When we come back, we continue the conversation. This is the Eric Metaxas Show, Bunker Version. Stick around.
When a woman sure can be a friend of mine.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the Eric Metaxas Show, Bunker Version. This is like guerrilla cinema. We don't know what's going to happen, but we have an actual guest. Her name is KT McFarland. You likely know her from the Fox Business Channel. She has been all over the news for a number of years, a woman of great wisdom, and she has a brand new book called Revolution, already selling tremendously well. KT, congratulations on this book and on being willing to tell your version of the story, because I think a lot of people who have stories to tell don't. And I get angry.
Well, let me tell you, it wasn't easy. I mean, I got angry writing this. And most people who have gone through particularly this FBI, the Mueller investigation, this kind of strong arm tactics by the Justice Department, they're so traumatized, they just disappear. And I felt that it really was an important tale to tell, because the American people would be horrified if they found out that this was our government, what it does to private citizens or government officials. And, you know, look, I'm the first person to say we should vest those important and powerful tools in the hands of the U.S. government, and the intelligence agencies, because I want them to use those tools against terrorists and, you know, child murderers and mass murderers and evil people. I don't want them to use those tools as a political instrument against their political enemies. And that's what's happened. They've used the deep state, whatever you want to call them, but there was a cabal of people in the Obama administration at the highest levels of the Justice Department and the intelligence community who decided they did not like the results of the 2016 election. And so they would take the guy down.
Well, I just want to say, this is, you know, to me, these are all teaching points, because most of us, anybody my age, and I'm not young, but anybody my age and younger did not learn this stuff in school. If by some miracle you learned it in school and went to college, it was untaught to you in college and the you know, the other narrative was shoved down your throat. What we're talking about is this idea that people in America have to actually believe that we, the people, are the government. If we become cynical about that, which is our tendency, and we don't believe that we are, in fact, the government, and we allow something to become the government that governs us, we are no longer a free people. We are no longer self-governing. So we have to have faith in our institutions, flawed as they are, and we have to work hard to better them when they begin to go wrong. And I think the damage done by the Obama administration and by the deep state, GOP members alike, to the trust that is necessary for American-style self-government, that is the headline here. That is what needs to be repaired, and that is what I hope Trump is going to be able to do in the next 5 years.
I completely agree. What's happened is that, I mean, I went back and looked at how many times we had impeachment, for example, and for the first 150 years of the Republic, we did it once, probably twice. But it's since Nixon, every single American president has had an impeachment or an investigation against him to try to remove him from office.
Right.
Now, you can understand one or two bad apples, but every single person, Republican and Democrat, trying to be removed from office by the opposition party. Right. That has a corrosive effect over time, and
But nobody says that, KT. This is the point, is that we need to make the case that those kinds of things have a corrosive effect on everyone. When Nixon conceded the election to JFK in 1960, that was a noble thing for him to do. He could have easily and bitterly fought and potentially won. But he said, for the good of the country, I will let it go. And you can say anything you like about Nixon, but the fact is that I don't think that that would happen today. And to my mind, the first sign that I saw that things were really bad was the 2000 election, when suddenly everything was disputed and it was about lawyering. Right. And I thought to myself, if America has come to this, we've never been here before. This is very dangerous.
Yeah, because the whole principle of the nation is that we're self-governing, that the average guy, the average American has a religious foundation, because the Declaration of Independence turned the whole notion of governance on its head. Before that, rights were given to people via somebody else. God gave them to the king. God gave them to the cleric. God gave them to somebody, and then that person handed them out as he saw fit. He could hand them out. He could take them away. The Declaration of Independence turns that on its head. Thousands of years of American and world history. And we said, no, rights reside directly in the individual. God gave them to each one of us. God gave each person a soul, and God gave each person the right to determine how he lives his life. And as a result of that, we are a self-governing people. We are the first democracy in thousands of years. Even the British are a monarchy. We are a democracy where every man and woman's vote counts equally, and we all have rights, but we also have responsibilities. And I think what happens is any governing class, the people in Washington, the career bureaucrats, the career politicians, they think they have the right to govern. They don't realize that they're there on borrowed power. And that's why we have these revolutions. That's what the American Revolution was about, right? To overthrow the king and the aristocrats ruling us in 1776. And then in 1820s and 30s, the people who had been our original revolutionaries and our new power structure, their heirs were stagnant. And so Andrew Jackson led a revolution to democratize America, expand suffrage. We had another revolution. We had another revolution in the Civil War. We had another revolution with the Industrial Revolution. We had another political revolution with Franklin Roosevelt. We had another smaller one with Reagan. And here we are today. It's the same fight we have time and again.
Have you thought about writing a book with the title Revolution?
Yeah, it had a theme there.
Just don't respond to my really stupid jokes, and most of them are stupid. We're going to be right back talking to KT McFarland. The book is Revolution.
Make like a Mr. Milk Toast, you'll get shut out.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the bunker. We love having you here, as long as you don't actually come into the bunker. We are talking to KT McCarland. Her book is Revolution. I'm excited about this book, about the thesis of the book. And frankly, I hate to embarrass you, KT, but I'm excited about you because there are not so many people who understand these foundational things the way that you do. And just to hear you talk about them gives me joy and hope for the future. So here's my first hard-hitting journalistic question. Okay. Have you considered running for office in the near future?
Well, I ran for office in 2006. As you may remember from New York, I ran for the U.S. Senate. Didn't do very well with that. I lost.
But that's because you were running against
Hillary Clinton.
What? Yeah. No, I remember that. The thing is that, but didn't you do better than Rick Lazio?
Yeah, but you know, look, I wasn't going to win that fight, and I knew it. But it was for me. Actually, it's a fairly interesting story. I'm a Cold Warrior. I studied nuclear weapons at MIT. I worked in, you know, defense policy my whole career, national security, and I retired.
Nuclear weapons at MIT.
I taught a class in nuclear weapons at
MIT. So you know what? You're a pretty bright gal. It's not like they say. Albin, she's a bright gal. What were you saying?
Right. Well, yeah, you didn't know what the initials MIT stood for.
It's great.
Seriously, when you say you're a Cold Warrior and you were already involved in this stuff at the college level, that is kind of amazing. Let me interrupt you quickly just to ask, what is your background growing up? Were your parents involved in these sorts of things, or was this just sui generis, as they say?
Sui generis, working class family from the Midwest, kind of a rough and tumble childhood, got scholarships. I'm of the age where we were the first generation of women who had access to equal education and scholarships. So I got a scholarship to George Washington University at age 18, and I needed a job to pay for my room and board. So I took a typing test and then through a series of accidents, started working as the night shift secretary for Henry Kissinger in the White House Situation Room.
Are you kidding?
How long did age 18.
Kissinger?
I worked for Henry for 7 years, and he has remained a lifelong friend and mentor. So I went to college, studied, then graduated from GW in Chinese, worked for a few more years for Henry, and then went to Oxford University, again on a scholarship. And after Oxford, I went to MIT to study nuclear weapons.
Something tells me you know my friend David Young.
David Young and I worked together very closely in the Nixon administration. David Young was the first person to greet me when I went to Oxford University. And I had a part-time job working for the nascent company called Oxford Analytica, when they were on the high street in a second floor walk up that they couldn't afford the heating. And it's now, you know, a world known and renowned think tank.
I knew that had to be the case. What a wonderful thing. David Young is one of my dearest friends in the world and has just been a blessing to me. But he talked to me about the a lot of people don't know that our friend David Young coined the term White House plumbers.
He did. His mother gave it to him.
That's a fact, because his grandfather was a plumber, and his job at the White House during the Nixon administration was to plug leaks.
Yes.
Get it?
And
so
his mother
the scientist said, what do I put on the door? I didn't mean to get off on this. Forgive me. So it's an extraordinary thing to me, though, that from the very beginning, you were a Cold Warrior, and you saw this from a different side. Did you ever expect that this president, who, you know, you and I are both New Yorkers, to think of a thrice married New York billionaire playboy to become the standard bearer of conservatism over and against a lot of GOP, quote unquote, conservatives? It's the strangest development of my lifetime politically.
Yes and no. It did seem odd at the time. But then when I went back and looked at American history, when we go through these evolutionary periods, revolutionary periods, every single time it's been the most unlikely hero. It's been the unlikely president. Who would have thought that a group of George Washington, who had been a pretty much a failure in his military career prior to the American Revolution, and our founding fathers, none of whom had had terribly distinguished or successful careers. They were mostly pretty young. So they were revolutionaries. They took the ragtag group of American patriots and they overthrew and defeated the most powerful military in the world, the most powerful empire in the world. So unlikely leaders. Look at Abraham Lincoln. He was almost president by accident because all of the other Republican leaders canceled each other out. Right. Look at somebody like FDR. He was finished. He was a cripple. His political career was over. He was thought to be kind of a has-been who never really was. Or Teddy Roosevelt, another revolutionary leader. He was a vice president. He wasn't even supposed to be president at all. So no, I think that when you look at the prototype of who have been our best leaders, it's usually the people who've come from outside of the political mainstream and aren't afraid to, break a lot of china in the China store, put it that way.
I was gonna throw in Jimmy Carter, but then No,
I don't think so. Sadly,
good man, but we're talking about American history, KT. Before we get back to that, let me just ask you in the moment we have left in this hour. So what did you do? You worked for Kissinger. Were you always in Washington after that? What did you do between that and running for Senate?
Well, I worked in Washington. Nixon, Ford administrations, went to Oxford and MIT, came back for Reagan, and then moved to New York. I got married and moved to New York and started raising a family. I had two stepsons and for my husband's first marriage. And then we ended up with five kids one way or another. And I was a stay-at-home mom, housewife. And then after September 11th happened, my older daughter, who was then a bratty little teenager, said, "Mom, you know, you've just been retired and you're going out to lunch with your girlfriends. You should go help the country. You know, we have friends who just died." So I got back involved and I started speaking, ran for the Senate, and then stayed active.
Well, aren't we glad you did? We're done with hour one today, but because we have such a special guest, we're gonna hang on through hour two to continue this conversation a little bit. Folks, the guest is KT. That's K period T period. McFarland. The book is Revolution. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. Our website, MetaxasTalk.com. God bless you. We'll be right back.
I was soaring ever higher, but I flew too high. Snow, cement, and ivory on top.
Hey there, folks. Isn't KT McFarland amazing?
Amazing.
Am I chewing? I hope I don't have food in my teeth because my sweet daughter, who's home, she made me an egg sandwich, and she never does stuff like that. So yeah. I'm really touched. So the thing is that KT McFarland is amazing. We're going to talk to her for most of the next hour. Now, if this is hour two for you, because we're replaying this segment twice, here's the bottom line. We're talking to her for both hours today, and she is absolutely amazing. But as I was saying earlier, we got to do some business here. So first of all, we want to remind you, one of the sponsors on this program is Food for the Poor. They come to us and they say, "Will you please ask your audience to give, because we are in Guatemala feeding the poorest of the poor." It's mind-blowing stuff. You can go to their website. But you can go to our website, MetaxasTalk.com, and click on the banner, and you'll see astoundingly, I mean, it makes no sense, for $80, you're able to feed a kid for an entire year. Now, Food for the Poor is a hugely reputable organization. They're able to leverage donations from around the world of rice and beans and those sorts of things to get this food up into the mountains to some of these rural villages where they have the worst malnutrition in the Western Hemisphere. So this is very serious. While we're going through our problems, it often helps to think of those who are less fortunate than we. So if you give $320, and some of you have been very generous and done that, that feeds a family of four for an entire year. And all of this, $80 and the 320 includes water for life. They are drilling wells and digging wells because lots and lots of these folks do not have clean drinking water. They travel for miles to get water, which is itself not clean. Sometimes they collect what little rainwater they can get and they store it in places that are themselves not clean. It's a horrible situation. Here's the great news. We can do something about it. We can't do anything today about the coronavirus, but we can do something about this. So I want to encourage you to go to our website, metaxastalk.com. You'll see the banner for Food for the Poor. And Alvin, we are this Friday announcing our grand prize winner, right?
Yes, we are. And also,
anybody who gives $100 gets Metaxas Super for the year. Is that right?
That is true. And also, there's a phone number you can call. So it's 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. Call that phone number and donate whatever you can. Get in on the grand prize drawing coming up this Friday.
Okay, 844-863-HOPE. I hope there are people that are going to do that, 844-863-HOPE. We do need your help. These are tough times. We haven't been able to raise the money that we normally would, and it's important that we do. So I want to encourage you, 844-863-HOPE, or just go to our website, metaxastalk.com. You'll see the banner there. I also want to say, I put this out there every time we do something like this. If anybody wants to have dinner with me or me and Alvin and Chris or whatever you want to do, we want to spend the evening with you. Anybody who gives $10,000 to this extraordinary charity, this is tax deductible and it's going to an amazing cause. We want to thank you by spending the evening with you and getting to know you. It's always a blessing to get to know the folks who are so generous with organizations that we believe so strongly in. And you know that we believe in Food for the Poor. We vet these organizations. We don't just work with anybody. We want to work with people that we really trust and have been vetted by other members of the Salem team who have visited with them, who have gone on mission trips with them, like our friend Tom Trata. So we're out of time in this hour. In both hours, KT McFarland is our guest. Don't miss it. God bless you. Stay strong. God is with us. He'll get us through it.